The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. It's a packed house at We the People Radio. You are joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin, and we have two very special guests in the studio with us. We're hoping that the air conditioner works today. So we are chatting and streaming worldwide at WeThePeopleRadio.us, or the call-in number, and you may want to call in on this show, 530-605-4567.
You forgot to tell them the rule. If they wait until 2 minutes before the end of the hour, then we pretend we can't hear the phone ringing.
You're S-O-L.
Can you say that on the radio, Bob?
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see his hand reach.
What's it mean, anyway?
Nice. Nice. All right. Look, everybody's all serious this morning.
I know.
We came running in, and all of a sudden everybody put on, like, their serious face. Seriousness.
Yeah, and this is not it's kind of a serious show, but be prepared. We like to have fun, so... You know, don't take yourself too seriously.
We're going to try to fund this up for you. That's going to be a stretch, isn't it? It's going to be a huge stretch. Okay, so we're talking about geoengineering, but we're going to be speaking about a couple of specific things that you guys have been working on. We're not going to wreck it for them. Why don't you give them your? We've got a filmmaker, we've got a science guy, and then we've got. Well, I was an English major, so I'll be here just just add extra words.
And I was a business major, so I'll stay on top of that.
Okay, so the girl voices won't be doing any science. The girl voices say anything scientific, it's a lot.
And Dane Wigington, you've been making a name for yourself out there. Wow, it's exploded, hasn't it? After 10 years or more?
Yeah, thankfully now I can hear a little bit more than the crickets and the frogs, but it's not certainly... something I wanted to engage in, Elizabeth. I mean, this is the last battle I wanted, but it's one that simply when you look at the data, you can't ignore this any longer. And now I think people are starting to feel a lot of the effects of this. I think we'll discuss this today, but the intense sun on their skin, the gardens that don't grow, the lawns that fry, trees that are baking in town. We have some solid data to throw into the show today about this, and it's pretty damned alarming.
Well, and you know, this has been a kind of a pivotal year for people starting to recognize that something just isn't right. For instance, you know, anybody that has a vegetable garden, you know, in the past, your vegetable gardens thrived, and this year, it's completely bizarre. I mean, it's beyond bizarre what's happening to people's gardens. I hear it all over the place.
Yeah, this is massively excessive UV radiation, and I'll give some facts and figures here in a minute, but no matter how much data we have, we wouldn't be able to get that out without the help of people like George Barnes that has thrown himself.
Who is sitting here next to us?
He's sitting here next to us. I'll introduce him, and he can state his background. But he's already won some awards on the Skyder Alert film that he has out. He attended I'll let him tell you about this more, but a film festival Friday night in Southern California, and we'll have his film and him at Monday night's meeting on South Bonneview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is 2570 South Bonneview Road in Reading, the Destiny Fellowship Church, 6 o'clock.
We'll bring up, address the issue, address the incredibly high UV levels that we're all being exposed to and the other aspects of geoengineering. And for people to think this issue doesn't affect them, they're absolutely positively wrong.
Well, if you're anything that's living and breathing on the face of the earth, then it does affect you.
That's right. And the gravity of these programs cannot be overstated. If they continue this experimentation with the atmosphere, the ramifications are as dire as it gets. So I'll turn this over to George to go over what he did Friday night and what his film won.
Hey, George, and before you jump into the film, can you give us a little bit of your background and you know, kind of what brought you to the point that you're at right now?
Sure, yeah. I'm a mainstream director of photography and commercial producer. I do regular commercials that you see every day, and I came across the incident. I was filming a commercial for Volkswagen in last July, and it was a time-lapse job. So I didn't have a time-lapse rig, so I went to the camera house, got a time-lapse rig to test it, and pointed at the sky at lunchtime, went in, came back out in the evening, took the camera, and processed the footage. But not being familiar with it, I actually processed it in reverse at high speed, just by accident.
Right.
And what I saw was that the entire blanketed sky...
Oh, you saw it de-blanket.
I saw it de-blanket, that's right.
Wow.
And the whole thing was created by these military jets flying in a grid pattern over my house. And this was in New Jersey. And the time lapse allows you, it shoots very high resolution images, so you can really zoom in. And I saw it. I said, what's going on here? So I zoomed in. I saw that they're military unmarked jets, saw the grid pattern, and I know that, you know, I'm fourth generation in that town, so I know that that's not a normal course of events or flight path. So we have a news producer, and her name's Amy, and I sent her out. I said, Amy, just take a look at this. Artificial clouds, fake sky, I don't know. See what you can come up with. She thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. And 2 days later, she said, yeah, you're not crazy, and had a 4-inch binder full of research.
Oh,
yeah. And
wow.
It turned up the geoengineering and
this, and this Dane Wigington guy kept showing up on all the
papers. And he did. That's right. That's right. So I said, wow, at that moment, I said, this is really serious. This is really severe. So I have a lot of tools at my disposal. I've got a lot of mainstream media connections, and I just made it my personal mission to shine the light on the issue, because that is my business, that mass communications.
Sure.
And that's how I came across the issue. And this was just last year, last July.
Wow. No kidding.
That's a great story.
And
actually,
this is one of those things you can talk about all day long. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting when you look at it. And Dane had said something, I don't know if it was on the radio or in real life or whatever, but people will say, oh, those are just airplane contrails. Mm-hmm. And I remember that one time you had said, well, think about a cold day. And you breathe out and you can see your breath on the air. Can you walk a block and then see the trail? And mm-hmm. it was like, oh.
Or does it dissipate?
That's an excellent point.
Right. And, you know, when people say it's normal, you know, it's a little bit different with me because that's my job. I'm a director of photography. You know, I take pictures of the sky. I've been doing it for 25 years. I know what the sky looks like. I had our editor go back through 25 years of archived footage.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not there. It does.
No, so let me ask you a question.
Rare instances, maybe like the past 3 years, mm-hmm. it's all over the place.
So have you noticed it at all? I mean, just as an individual person living your life, doing your profession prior to testing out that equipment, that time-lapse equipment, had you looked up and noticed it at all?
That's funny you say that. Here is how it really clicked. And in the director of photography world, guys are saying the same thing. The horizon's always white. The sky's always silver. There's something wrong with the color. We have very expensive cameras. They're calibrated. Their white balance is calibrated in degrees Kelvin. Okay, mm-hmm. And there's mm-hmm. a very specific way to calibrate the camera. And I have a camera assistant, Ryan, exceptionally technical guy. And he's been telling me for like a year and a half, he said, something's not right. The color temperature's not right. It's not 5,600 degrees. Something's wrong with the daylight. And it's coming up, you know, there's something wrong. Things are coming up magenta, and there's actually a new series of filters that are being manufactured to compensate.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they're IR filters to compensate for this change in daylight. So from a technical standpoint, yes, my colorists, they've been telling me the same thing. The trees aren't the right color. It's not the right color green. The grass isn't the right color green. None of the presets that have been working for the past 20 years that I'm doing this are correct now.
They're kind of olive colored.
Well, yeah.
You know, a lot of it's kind of olive drab. It's
right.
Real weird.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's
I was
not
driving
that
up north of us.
Green.
You look out into the forest and usually it's green.
Yeah.
You know, like we call it forest green, right?
Chlorophyll green, a healthy green.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I just think of like the regular color of most trees. Mm-hmm. If you get enough
forest
of them,
green used to be what the color was called.
That's what I mean. It was called forest green for a reason, and now it's olive drab.
That's right.
Which is pretty weird. All right.
So that's what I've been seeing. So the sky, when you look at the horizon, is almost never blue.
Yeah, it's kind of a white schmear.
Yeah, and it always has been. And for like our mainstream auto commercials, you know, you want the sky blue when you're doing
sure.
Beer commercials or
well, you want
clothing.
Fluffy white clouds.
That's
you want
right.
white clouds with edges.
That's right.
The clouds don't have edges anymore. Now they have this weird, almost like when we all took pastel drawing in college, you know, for our art credit,
mm-hmm. right.
and you had to do pastel, and if you rub pastel with your finger, the sides have no distinction.
Okay, so how many people when they were kids used to lay on their grass with their head, with their hands behind their head, look up at the clouds, and imagine different images, dogs, cats, butterflies.
Yep, can't do that now.
You can't do that. You look up, and it's just nothing but,
Schmear.
It looks like somebody laid a piece of gauze over the sky.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting is that I'm coming at it from a completely different perspective, regular guy, purely organic standpoint. But what happens is, you know, I'm no spring chicken, so people can't say, well that's normal.
Good company.
So no one can tell me it's
like crowd here.
Exactly. Plus, no one can say
we're
that
not
that's
going plus. Just not doing it. It's radio. They'll never know.
No one can say that it's natural. It's normal. It's always been there because it just
that's
hasn't.
Not true.
And there are, you know, almost nobody that's very, very, very few people that's got as much time photographing the sky as I do.
Sure.
That's my thing.
That's right.
And
interesting.
Yeah. So that's why when I start doing the research and people are saying, well, it's normal and this, it's something that's always been there. That's not the case. It's just not the case.
And you can actually prove it.
And you've got
and
you've got the footage to prove
it. Yeah, 20 years, 25 years worth of archives. Yeah, it's just not there.
That's
you look
crazy.
At the old pictures and it's not there. So so then I looked at it and said, okay, what's the most effective way to raise awareness about it and to see what other people are experiencing? So I came up with the idea of making a different type of website. So I made Skyder Alert, and it's skyderalert.com, but it's more than just like an informational website. There's a lot of websites that are great and have good information, but mine is more user-based. So in other words, you go in, you sign up, and you can actually, it's like a forum. You can actually send your pictures, your photos, and people talk about them, and it's a nice way to share your stories of what you're experiencing. So then I took that a step further and created a mobile app. And the app it's a completely new way of communicating with officials. And that's really important because another core business of mine is strategic communications for races. So the mobile app, Skyder Alert, enables regular users to take a photograph of these lines in the sky or bizarre clouds, because there's some really bizarre cloud formations, and it automatically generates a petition. And now the new version 2.0, which comes out, I believe, today. Yeah. Now the petition automatically goes to the appropriate legislators wherever you are in the country.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
That is very
cool. So we're going to link that on the website because that's not on here yet. But we better take a quick break or we'll have all of them at once. Bob's giving us the high sign, but we're not paying any attention. He tried the high, low, and middle sign, and we blew him off. You're here with We the People Radio. Hit the website while we're here on break. WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll be right back with you at KCNR 1460 AM.
We the People Radio, go to WeThePeopleRadio.us, jump on the chat room, give us a call at 530-605-4567. We are with Dane Wigington, researcher and creator of geoengineeringwatch.org, and George Barnes, filmmaker and journalist, creator of the Skyder Alert website, SkyderAlert.com. You guys have to get on the We the People Radio website. This information is absolutely amazing.
And it'll be archived in like 2 hours probably. And you could send the show all over the place so the people who missed it or, you know, if they missed the beginning or they want the links or whatever, you don't
And I want to point out that Aaron and I and Bob have listeners around the world. We've got regular listeners from South Korea, from Australia. They're experiencing the same thing there. We have a cult following, I guarantee you, so you need to send this information out.
That's fantastic. So we could actually take that archive as well?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So Georgie's listening on the radio now, so I could just give him that instruction. He's one of my web guys, so he could actually post
it.
That'd be great.
At the beginning, we thought, you know what? What better than to set up like an audio library?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Robert Exter puts the pages together with, you know, easy to figure out and all the podcast or link there with the names and all your web information.
And that is a special thank you to Robert, who spends every Saturday night pulling this together for us.
He does too. Sometimes Sunday morning, if some of us are bad. But this week it was great. I got a break. Dane called him directly and they figured it out. I know.
That's why I didn't hear from you.
I know. Because I wasn't in a dither. It was awesome.
Nice.
All right.
So, yeah. So getting back to the Skyder Alert app.
So, okay, and tell everybody what you just showed me.
Okay.
You guys, I know this is radio and you can't see it, but this is unbelievable.
So the basic functionality of the app is you download it. It's free. It's for Android or Apple for iOS. When you see those bizarre clouds or persistent contrails behind the planes, you take a photograph of it. It sends the petition to a couple places. It tweets now to the appropriate appropriate legislators, and it doesn't matter where you are, it'll automatically determine their Twitter feeds.
Is it based on your geography or
based on where the photo is taken?
Okay, that's what I want.
Yeah, where the photo is taken. And it also sends an email back to you, and the email contains a geolocation tag, the actual photo, and a petition. So this way you can post it to your Facebook page. You can also post it to your Facebook page directly through the app, and it also populates it on the SkyderAlert.com homepage. And if you guys want to pull up SkyderAlert.com, you can actually see it. And you'll see on the upper left side, there's a box that says Use Clusters. If you deselect that, it will show the individual submissions.
Mm. So a little balloon comes up for
a little pop-up pin.
Okay. So what you were showing me was you were looking at the weather report for the Northeast.
Yes, okay. So
it shows the heat warning.
Yes.
For the Northeast, and then you went to Skyder Alert, and you showed me that exactly in the same exact formation were Skyder Alerts coming in from people seeing the cloud formations in exactly the same place that our National Weather Service was indicating a heat warning.
It was really, it was really purely coincidental. I was in the Northeast, I just looked at the weather, and I saw, okay, well, this is where the heat warning is. Okay, that's fine. I figure I'll check my website just to see how everything's going. So I log on to SkyderAlert.com. I deselect the use cluster so I can see the individual submissions. And I said, wait a second. That's the identical pattern to where the heat warning is. And, you know, maybe that's coincidental. But then on Friday, the 19th, I said, no, I'm going to look at the weather. I look at the weather and I see there's severe heat warning with a specific circle around an area for tornadoes. There was a tornado watch. I mean, New York City and New Jersey, tornado watch, pretty uncommon. I'm fourth generation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay? That's not a normal thing. So now I say, all right, I'm going to drill down. I'm going to go to the Skyder Alert homepage. I go there, and I see it's the same exact area where the warning is. Now, yesterday, I look, and the weather's nice. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 days ago, I look, and the weather's nice. It's cool. It's clear. Everything's fine. And I didn't show you this, but I will as soon as I pick it up. And there's almost no submissions.
And these are everyday people like you and I.
Yeah, it's regular people. It's not...
All over the country.
All over the world.
These aren't scientists with special calibrated...
No, these are just people with iPhones.
Yep, iPhones or Androids.
Yeah.
Take a picture of the sky, submits it, and that's it.
Yeah. God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really... it's
wow.
The correlation between where this persistent contrails are being seen and the bizarre weather patterns, it's disturbing, actually.
It's exactly the same.
So I've got a question, and I've wondered this, you know, ever since we were introduced to Dane, and the Tea Party has really gotten behind this issue. Do you think that the powers that be know that we're onto them? And are they backing off at all on what they're doing?
Well, here's what I think. I think that the app is... I mean, obviously, it's petitioning their offices, and, you know, they're seeing these submissions, and they're seeing them in volume. You know, we're getting 2,000, 3,000, I think, our last count. I saw one guy posted it was almost 10,000. So they are seeing it. I think that they're going to come forward eventually with some sort of statement. If you listen to the fray, it's already combating climate change. We're going to fight climate change. They don't say how. But if you really listen to their words, it's starting to surface that they are going to do something. Now, I've been saying specifically
and
what.
Then you know it'll be magic that we are doing it.
Exactly.
Isn't that fantastic? We already figured it out.
And this is where the equation gets very, very interesting, because we have data now, even from NASA, that states the aerosols in the atmosphere are fueling warming, not mitigating. So I mean,
imagine they got it wrong.
We know that geoengineering can and does create large regional cooling on a temporary basis at the cost of a much worsened overall situation. So it's cutting one's nose off to spite one's face. So however much lipstick they try to put on this pig, it should not be allowed to fly, period. And there are just things that they can't hide any longer than they've been at this for we believe 60-plus years, and has it helped? And no, our situation now is worse than ever. And on the UV alone, which we can talk about when you guys are ready, without somebody like George helping the way he has, again, it's and with the Tea Party also, people that have helped get the word out, we would not be at the level we're at right now. But the events on the ground are unfolding so quickly that I think people have noticed how hot the sun mm-hmm. is on their face, mm-hmm. yes?
Well,
even in New Jersey,
I mean,
George, yeah. you've noticed that too.
Absolutely.
You just notice, yeah, even walking the dog, all of a sudden it's kind of like you can feel yeah. your skin sort of sizzle. Well,
30 minutes and you feel it.
And just yeah. and just look, I mean, I'm looking at the plants around my house. They're singed. Everything is singed. I mean, it looks like somebody tried to set fire to the bushes around my house. I mean, I've been on this earth long enough to know that that is not the way it has always been.
I can attest to that.
Now, a couple of things that people should take notice of. In previous years, during this time of year, July and going into August, we had horizon-to-horizon trails. So where are they now? And perhaps even the work that everybody's combined efforts, and especially what George has brought to the table, there's being a difference in application reported around the country, that there's not as many in-your-face trails, but rather you see the silvery white skies, just like George described, morning and night. We have, on the satellite, total blanket spraying of the oceans off our coast. I mean, from mm-hmm. South Baja to the Aleutian Islands, out several thousand miles, it is virtually blanket sprayed every day. We post satellite pictures of this to give quantification to the UV and how hot that is, because if we just say it's hot, that doesn't really give people any definition. We've just completed a few weeks of UV monitoring. It's hard to do this. You have to buy separate meters because they don't even sell meters, a single meter that separates UVA and UVB. People have both mostly heard of UVA and UVB. We're told that UVB, the more lethal band of UV...
That's what we wear sunscreen for.
That's correct. We're told that UVB makes up a maximum of 5% of total UV. Now, our metering in recent weeks has proven, and we have a much more expensive specialized UVC meter and UVA meter, so we can separate these bands. We see now that UVB has risen at least, it's at least 1,400% higher than what we are being told. We're seeing 70% of the total UV is the UVB, not 5% or even 1%, as some agencies say. And when I say agencies, I mean World Health Organization, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. But we're seeing 70% UVB. This is literally a very, very dangerous situation. Agencies are not disclosing it. What we see in the ground certainly verifies that these numbers are correct. And we're posting an article on Geoengineering Watch, should be up today or tomorrow, with all our spreadsheet readings. I welcome anybody to try to dispute this. These readings were taken by a 40-year environmental monitoring veteran. 20 years of that was for the government. These are specialized meters.
We won't hold that against them.
We won't. These are specialized meters. So bottom line is the sun feels hot on your face because it is. It's not just a little warm. These levels are absolutely in very dangerous realms. It's not being disclosed. And to plug this into a couple other ramifications, it's a feedback cycle, a positive feedback cycle. So the UV kills plankton, for example. It kills microorganisms. It kills plankton. It penetrates much deeper into the ocean now, the UVB. So as you kill plankton, you kill the Earth's oxygen-making capacity. That worsens the UV still, which kills more plankton. Mm-hmm. You can see
snowball
the cycle.
Snowball effect.
It's and speaking of snowball.
Without the coldness.
Speaking of snowball, the Arctic ice cap is probably going to implode this year or next. They're also hiding that. That allows more UV to penetrate, more dead plankton, more methane into the atmosphere. Geoengineering is absolutely wreaking havoc. So.
Okay, now, do we have to take a break?
Yep.
Okay.
But for the science people, just something to ponder. We'll come back and decode this for you. Okay, for the non-science people, it goes from UVA to UVB. This is the smaller, this is in decreasing size, down to X-ray. So that's what we're talking about.
UVA, UVB,
the smaller
UVC, smaller still, and then X-ray after UVC. So that ought to put it into context. And
just in case people weren't connecting the UV thing with X-ray. I mean, we all get X-rays, but they don't actually go in and say, hello, this is below UVC. You're going to now be X-rayed.
Exactly.
You know, we don't deal with that most of the time. All right, we're coming back, Dane, and with George and Elizabeth and all of us. And we'll see you in 2 seconds here on We the People Radio. Catch us online, wethepeopleradio.us at KCNR 1460 AM.
Daniel is driving tonight on a plane. I can see the red tail lights heading for Spain. Oh, and I can see Daniel waving goodbye. God, it looks like Daniel. Must be the clouds.
And if I didn't mention it before, pay very close attention to the lyrics of the music that is chosen by our show producer, Bob Martin. It all ties in.
Home run, Bob.
We're talking about geoengineering. We're talking about chemtrails and the impending disaster, but also incredible public awareness.
That was cheerful.
I know. I'm sorry.
And the doom and the gloom. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Dane Wigington.
You know, we have a, I know we have a caller online that's quite qualified to give some of his research on sea ice level rise. And again, I want to stress with people, this is not about Al Gore, carbon credits, or any of that. It's about absolutely insane experimentation with the atmosphere, which is called geoengineering. And again, back to the quick mention of UV and its effect on ice, so that this might fit into some of the caller's information that they'll pass on. But As the ozone layer is shredded, much more of the sun's thermal energy penetrates the atmosphere. The bands of radiation, again, to make clear to people, UVA, which is more benign, that's the top end of the bandwidth for UV. UVB, which is much more detrimental to biological organisms. And UVC, which is the last step before X-ray. So the scale gets progressively much, much worse. And again, we are told by all official agencies that no more than 5% of the total UV coming into the atmosphere and reaching us here on the surface, no more than 5%, we are told, is UVB of the total UV. Now we know that at least in Reading, these readings were taken over toward Weaverville by extremely competent metering people, and we are seeing 70% UVB.
That's and UVC shouldn't be here at all.
Now, UVC should not be here at all. We are told by all official agencies it has stopped 30 kilometers high in the atmosphere, 100,000 feet up. We are getting UVC readings as well. So,
just so people know that the thing that comes next after UVC is having an X-ray.
Is X-ray, correct. So this is no joke. This is not a little bit off or a little bit high. It's absolutely inconceivably high. It's high enough to burn the bark off of trees, singe gardens, burn lawns, and also we felt that on certain days when they were aerosolizing the sky, when you have a very silvery white sky, which seems to be their application of late, where you don't have the in-your-face trails as we had in previous years, you have this the silvery white skies, a lot of disbursement going on before sunrise, but on those days where you have that canopy, the UV is even worse. It creates a magnifying effect. So, again, this is experimenting with the atmosphere that allows life on Earth to exist. No ozone layer, no life on Earth. That's a very simple equation. If people don't believe me, they can research that themselves. I welcome them to. So, that being said, the UV does affect ice horrifically, allows more of the sun's thermal energy to penetrate. In fact, we just had a study out 4 or 5 days ago from Antarctica that the ice there is melting exponentially faster than they felt, and it's not due to rising temperatures. It's due to increased UV. Imagine that.
Hmm.
So that being said, George, I'll let you introduce...
So on the line we've got Tom Gustafson, who's a former Florida Speaker of the House. He's a highly educated man. He's an attorney, and he's also done a tremendous amount of research for our film that's Look Up, and that's on the scatteralert.com website. And he's really been an influential part of doing the research. And one thing that his main passion is sea level rise. So that being said, Bob, can you switch him in?
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom Gustafson.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
We can. You sound like you're right here.
I'm in the middle of a rainstorm in Florida. So
imagine.
I apologize if you get a little background noise.
We can hear you sweating from here.
I did want to correct one item. I'm not a researcher. I read research journals. I'm a climate change policy advocate. That is, I think we need to do something quickly to change our human behavior if we want to have any chance of getting out alive. And although most other people on the planet aren't paying attention, if you live in South Florida and you know there's only about 2 or 3 feet of ocean, of land between you and the ocean, you know that a little bit of sea level rise will ruin our day. So we have to be a little bit more vigilant in South Florida with any sea level rise. And that started my thought process with George's help to better understand what was going on in the atmosphere, which is, of course, part of what's driving the climate change, the warming, and then into the general subject matter of these contrails and what's causing them to be persistent, and then how the chemistry of the atmosphere is changing, in part because of the stuff we put in it. And then once it changes, the ozone is depleted, and then all the bad things happen that you've heard about so far, which leads to, if you take it to its logical conclusion, an extinction result, where we don't live on the earth anymore. And so it's sort of deadly serious. In South Florida, we just don't live on the earth sooner than everybody else. So we get a little bit more anxious about small changes. But eventually, the small changes will lead to large changes, and then with large changes, nobody does well.
You know, and the travesty in this whole situation for me is that there are so many legislators and the media and folks that tend to profit off of global warming who are making the average citizen responsible for this, when in fact it's happening by our own government, and it's intentional maybe for different reasons. But I personally am offended by the implication that everyday average citizens are responsible for what's happening.
And everyday average citizens have been doing such a great job with recycling and conservation and low usage energy and renewables, and it's disgusting the way, you know, people are really banding together
to work towards
conservation.
We're also being charged out the wazoo.
Yes.
I mean, the cost of that.
Yes.
So here we bear all the cost for this, when in reality these things are 1,000,000% more damaging than anything we could all do individually.
Absolutely.
And we know, and Tom, I wanted to say that I would put more weight on your research than I would many that I know from academia who have their degree from a very, quote, prestigious university that is nothing more than a certificate of obedience to whatever the official line is.
That's beautiful. So, thank you.
And we know so many of the scientific community would literally, I've used this example before, but it's very fitting, that they would have to watch a house burn to the ground, sift through the ashes, and analyze for 10 years before they could say, yeah, that was a fire. So, I mean,
If I can respond to that, two items are clear. The European research journals are telling a clearer and more obvious truth about how bad the climate change is affecting the world at large.
Yes.
So if you go to European journals, you get it full scale, up front, easy to read, easy to understand. When you go to American journals, they're a little bit more circumscribed in terms of what they say, and you have to work a little bit harder to connect the dots. What's good about it is that all the scientific community is getting a little bit more clear about their message, which is that changing the atmosphere and the temperature of the planet is a very bad thing to do. and whether you believe it is purely a government function or something that we all participate in because of our daily lives, it really doesn't matter. The answer is we have to quickly come to terms with the fact that the climate is changing and that humans have something to do with it, even if it's a natural phenomena in part, and that the quicker humans come to realize that it's time to stop whoever it is that is warming the climate, the better and more likely it is we'll be around to look at the 22nd century. And if we don't do that, there are serious consequences called extinction from guessing wrong about your ability to affect it. And what's really great about what George has done, what gets me excited, because I helped write the petition language, is that it says when you see that contrail in the sky, and you're not sure where it's coming from, and you don't know what chemicals are in it, and you don't know whether it's a military plane or a civilian plane, you can barely see it up there in the sky, but you know they have this persistent contrail. You can see it across the horizon. And you send your note out, and it goes to your congressman, or whoever the congressman is of that area over which the plane is flying, and you say, I don't agree with this. I think it's a bad idea to be putting something in the atmosphere that I can see, an artificial cloud. And that artificial cloud is persisting, and it's generally getting into a haze now, and I'm not sure what it's done, but I don't like it, and I want you to stop, and I don't give my consent.
If I can mention, Tom, if I could mention something.
That message has to get to Congress.
I agree, and if just for the listeners to clarify something, and hate to be phobic on the semantics, but just so people understand, these are not condensation trails, long or short. They are particulate trails, and those particulates are what we are breathing in. It's what's contaminating our soils and waters, and semantics can be very important on this, not to stand on that too strongly, but I just so people understand, we are not talking about condensation trails. We're talking about particulate trails. And for people who think you're being an alarmist, and I certainly don't, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, Tom. If people look at the actual data for what's going on in the ground, not about Al Gore again, but our situation is much more immediate than people understand, and the sun on their face should be a good indicator of that. And as you said, the U.S. modeling and disclosure is not there. The UV should be a very good example of that. How could the UV be 1400 to 1500% conservatively above what we're being told, and no agency picks this up? How is that possible? Because the whole system is designed not to indicate just how severe our situation is.
On that note, if I might, what is interesting is I haven't heard what you just said myself, and I only intermittently go into a full research regime. So I need to, at my next research cycle, go in and look for the ultraviolet impact on ice and the amount of penetration the ultraviolet has. I have been wondering whether or not it was changing because I hadn't seen any research on it in my past, you know, general encyclopedic reviews of what's out there. And the difference is, and there is only one small difference, what actually is coming out of that jet is not a contrail, I agree. The scientific word is persistent contrail. What's really coming out?
Actually, that word was coined. I know NASA uses it, but that's exactly the term they want us to use, so that people think, well, it's a short contrail, long contrail. Who cares? It's a contrail, and that is the term that they would like us to use.
Except, I like using the scientist language and the scientist terms for this reason. It is a persistent contrail. It persists longer than a traditional contrail. Now, why does it persist? Well, that's because there's aerosols, which are small particles, the things you just talked about, that are mixed in with the atmosphere, and they tend to cause cloud nuclei to occur in larger numbers, hence the persistent cloud. And some of that particulates that form the cloud nuclei eventually come down to Earth, where we have health problems, but more importantly, they also go up in the stratosphere, where they shred the stratosphere and begin to change the chemical and temperature of the stratosphere, which affects the ozone, which then allows the penetration. So the most important thing to remember is when you see a persistent contrail, when you see a line in the sky, a white line in the sky, and it begins to morph into a cloudiness, what you're watching is the changing of the atmosphere that will destroy mankind. It's just that simple.
You're correct. I want to point out, though, that we are seeing a difference in application, and we've had this reported to us at geoengineeringwatch.org from across the country and even around the world. It appears perhaps a more covert effort to disperse the particulates, where we see very brightly colored trails, clearly particulate trails that seem to dissipate, but the sky becomes more and more silvery white till in the afternoons we have exactly what George described on the horizons, totally silvery white skies. But here in our region especially, we have seen a marked difference, not as many horizon-to-horizon in-your-face trails, but simply the disbursement that makes the skies more and more silvery white, no blue, and people should look at that as well. And yesterday, by the way, we're seeing thunderheads, and this is being reported everywhere. When these convective clouds rise up, these cauliflower-type clouds, they spray the hell out of those on top. And if you look at those clouds, they go from if you see a very white, clearly defined cloud, keep watching, because before it will rise too high, it suddenly starts to dissolve in what looks like a dirty smoke bank from a fire. And they are absolutely aerosolizing the tops of these convective storms. They don't let rain fall. You guys have loads of rain in Florida. We can't buy a drop here to save our backsides.
Hey, but we're getting a lot of free lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to point out that as you are, as you and our caller are talking, George is showing me the National Weather Report right this minute, and it shows on the national map where the heat is across the United States. He then shows me the SkyDer Alert website, where people, as we are speaking, are sending their mobile app photographs of chemtrails to their legislators. He shows me that side by side, and they are sending those chemtrail alerts from exactly the same place where our U.S. National Weather Service right now is saying we have heat warnings.
Huh. I guess we
can literally connect the dots, huh? On that happy note, we need to take a fast break, or we're going to connect the news to ourselves, and it's going to be bad. We're going to be right back with you. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can pull up all the stuff we're talking about here, and we'll be
so
right
with this. This is like the
we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes here.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight.
We're back. We've got 5 minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to run it back to George and Dane and our speaker. And just so you know, I tend to talk off air when I get all excited. So if you heard me whispering in the background, I just think this mobile app, SkyDer Alert, is unbelievable. It is like the one way people can do something very easily to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to be a scientist. Thank God.
Just regular person.
If you can work the phone, you're good.
Yeah. You know, we just won an award last week for the accolade competition for the app, Best Creativity and Originality for an Original App.
Nice.
Because this is the film festival circuit.
This is the film festival circuit, and the accolade competition is specific for social media. And what's interesting, the way we've designed it, is we've got the film, look up, the website, SkyDerAlert.com, and the SkyDer Alert app, and everything is kind of integrated so regular people can get involved and actually have an action item, something that they can do. It's a concrete thing.
And that's what most people want.
Well, it's most people need it.
Yeah, they need something they can do.
Yeah.
So this is amazing.
Yeah, it's a totally unique way for activists to get involved and actually have their voices heard by the politicians.
Yeah.
And now the new version 2.0 that's coming out is utilizing Twitter. So in addition to just going to the politicians, it's going to everyone that's following the politicians.
There you go.
And you can forward it around and retweet it. And it's a very powerful
method. Well, it'll spread like wildfire.
Yeah. And that's what we're hoping for.
So to speak.
So to speak.
Yeah, we want to cut back on that. We're getting a lot of that.
Is Tom still on?
Yep.
Yes, I am.
All right, fantastic.
All right, fellas, how do you want to do this?
Tom, you can hang on with us.
Let's go up to the news break.
Yeah.
But we should do a reintroduction of him. So, Tom, you want to go ahead and just introduce yourself?
Well, my name is Tom Gustafson. I was in politics for 14 years and the Florida House Representative, Speaker of the House the last 2 years. My claim to fame was I was able to march into different subject matters, insurance, health care, transportation, criminal justice, education funding and get to be expert in a relatively short period of time, and then move on to something else after I had accomplished whatever I was trying to do with that subject matter. And I have a capacity to read and understand science journal articles. It came with the territory a long time ago.
Oh, Tom, let me just jump in on the science journals. It's important that if you look at the scatteralert.com site, a lot of the articles that Tom has actually based his research on, if you go onto the science link at the top menu bar, we've got links to those journals, and he's spot on that the European science journals are much more forthcoming with their data and their information. And you'll see there's a lot of talk about governance of geoengineering and the issues that surround that and the shredding of the ozone. But it's on the scatteralert.com site under the science link. You can actually see the research papers from major universities and major papers.
To back up,
George, what I want to say is I tend to drift towards the science articles to see what they say. What's interesting is the folks that have been working on chemtrails, who have been working on geoengineering, the gentleman on the phone with us today, they've done some interesting work, because I look at that too, and in terms of their observation, usually not at the same technical rigor that a scientist will do, but still pretty good observations. And so what's interesting is if you listen to it in stereo, and you listen to what people are out in the field doing who are advocates against geoengineering and chemtrails, and then you look at what the science journals say, and then you try to pick through what the truth is, you start to see a pattern, and the pattern is, aviation is changing the environment, along with, quite frankly, what's coming out of the back end of your automobile and coal-fired power plants, and the natural changes in the sun's radiation that occur over time.
And on that happy note, Tom,
we've got to go to news.
We're going to get cut off by the news. We're going to be back with you in.
And
coming back.
All of it is complex.
Here comes the news. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
Fox News Radio. I'm Paul Stevens.
It is hour two of We the People Radio. If you are just tuning in, we are chatting and streaming worldwide at wethepeopleradio.us. The call-in number is 530-605-4567. And if you're not aware of the fact that this show is all about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, and anything that falls under that very broad umbrella. And today we're talking about geoengineering and the truth about why the sun is so hot on your skin.
Yeah, but it's not for the heat. Okay, the sun is hotter on your skin. However, you figured this out because the solar uptake was down quite a bit.
Well,
it's not actually translating into, all this magical solarness that people want.
No, not. I mean, again, this is one of the reasons why all the solar subsidies were backed off with the UN countries, for example, because they've all signed on to geoengineering. Why would they build mega-million-dollar solar plants when they're paying trillions of dollars to block the sun with geoengineering particulates? And what I want to mention about, Tom, about your comment before the break, and certainly I'm just like you, I'm not a fan of one coal-fired power plant going online every week in China and so forth. But that being said, we will never know how much better position we would have been in had they not been geoengineering the planet for the last 60 years, completely thwarting the Earth's hydrological cycle, and disrupting the planet's ability to respond to a large degree. Again, they're altering all the weather patterns. The atmosphere is so compromised at this point. We have, just to put this in perspective, people think that these problems could be a century out or maybe a few decades out. These problems are here now. If you can't walk outside without exposing yourself to UVB, that's 1,500% higher than what we're being told. We have plankton populations that are 50% of historical norms. Plankton produces 50% of the Earth's oxygen supply. We have a problem. We have a crisis right here, right now. So people need to understand, I think, the immediacy of the situation, that this is not off in the horizon somewhere.
Yeah, it isn't something we're talking about that might be coming.
No, it's here now for sure.
And maybe we can reintroduce or have our guests reintroduce themselves in case we have folks just tuning in for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Dane Wigington. This is an issue that I've been working on for about a decade and a half total, and not a battle I wanted. And I have a background in solar energy, worked for Bechtel Power on one of the first solar plants in the continental U.S. This is an issue that once one studies to a certain degree, you cannot help but come to the conclusion that this should be prioritized, that based on all available data, I believe short of thermonuclear catastrophe, geoengineering is the greatest and most
immediate threat. And your website?
Geoengineeringwatch.org. And to mention something else that Tom mentioned earlier, the quote-unquote scientist, and I'm not blanketing all of academia with this, Tom, but I've met with plenty of scientists, met with the world's most recognized geoengineers face-to-face, and quite simply, they live in some alternate reality where the most simple facts that a 10-year-old could put together, they cannot seem to string the dots in a row because they've been trained not to. So I don't believe that having a degree from Harvard or Stanford, per se, gives these guys any better right to make a logical conclusion. As an example of that, the largest scientific panel on any subject in human history, the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is still stating and still holding to their conclusion that we will have an ice-free Arctic 2070 to 2100. All available data indicates we're going to have an ice-free Arctic this year or next. So how much are those degrees helping them? How much is all their scientific knowledge, quote-unquote, helping them make a simple decision?
You have to remember, Dane, it can't exist unless they read about it in a scientific journal.
Now, Tom, I was told that, by the way, by some people here in the scientific community, that unless or until geoengineering and its consequences are acknowledged in one of their peer-reviewed, establishment-ordained scientific manuals, it does not exist. It's not a reality. So I don't know how much more they could have their heads buried in the sand as a whole.
Yeah, how did all those other things get in those scientific journals? Must have been crazy people broken at night and scribbled it in the back of the book secretly.
And
George, give us your 411 there.
And we've got George Barnes, who is the creator of the Skyder Alert website, skyderalert.com.
That's right. So I am a director of photography, commercial producer, and filmmaker, and I came across the geoengineering topic by accident last year and have made a film called Look Up that's won several awards in the past week.
And actually, you told us off air that is the film festival circuit, and you're winning awards for, you know, basically social issues.
Yeah, it's fantastic awards. It was, let me see, the IFPP International, an international film festival in Jakarta. We won, and we won one for best use of film for social change, and then
nice.
The app won an award for creativity.
And people can see this film Monday night. They can see this film for free.
Oh, yeah. Showing Monday night here
Monday
in town.
Monday night in Reading at the Reading Tea Party, free admission always. Mm-hmm. 2570 South Bonneville, Destiny Fellowship Church.
6:00.
And George hails from Joysy.
That's right.
You don't have a lot of Joysiness on you.
I work on that.
That kind of wrecks it for me. I grew up in Connecticut. I was kind of looking forward to the Joysy.
And, you know, the thing I love about the Skyder Alert app, it's a mobile app that you can use with your phone. And it's one of those really simple things that people can do, because people that are aware of an issue, mm-hmm. they want something that they can do. And who doesn't take pictures with their phone?
It's very easy to use.
It's very easy to use.
Oh, and what else is good is that you don't need to know who your legislators are. Like, one thing that's, we actually were able to get multiple patents because one of the things that is very difficult, let's say you're on vacation and you're in, I don't know, Phoenix. How do you know who the representative is? Most people don't even know who the representative is where they live.
Is it their house? Exactly.
And this automatically, by your geolocation, tells you the legislators, and it also gives you their contact number and populates it in their phone. So if you want to call them, you can just press the button and it calls them instantly.
And you've got Twitter involved in this, so whatever you send out to that particular elected official, it will then go to everyone following that elected official. So I mean, this
with a button click.
This spreads it far and wide really fast.
Yeah, with a button click. So
nice. And it's SkyderAlert.
Correct. And it's available on the App Store and Google. And you know, for the app, it actually became a top 5 seller on the App Store.
Oh,
Google was number 3, and we were number 5.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was unexpected.
You can't tell me people don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so I could tell you that, but I'd be lying.
So it's really amazing. So you see, this is, you can see it just populates their phone number. You hit the button for call, and you can call them up, and you know it enables regular people.
Yeah,
to
reach out.
Yeah, I
want to call Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein.
Just press the button.
Don't bother with Boxer. I've been in her office, and I've said this before. I might as well beat my head in the concrete.
I love what this says. It says if you're really mad, call them up.
Yeah.
And it gives our senators and our representatives and their phone numbers. And you're right. You just hit a little green call button, and you're good to go.
Yeah. It's a totally unique way of well, we got a great write up from ZDNet. You're putting the power of democracy in the hands of the people. You know, they're a pretty conservative group when it comes to write-ups. I'll send you the press release on what they posted, and they call it possibly the most important app ever invented.
Yikes! Wow!
Yeah, well, really strong language.
And honestly, once you've developed this, hopefully solve this issue and then move it to something else.
Because
if it works once, it'll work twice.
From an activist standpoint, it's really powerful.
What about Tom? We have him held hostage in the phone. He's in Florida well, maybe the rainstorm's over. We'd like to buy some of that rain, Tom.
You know, can we, ruh-roh.
Something happened.
Something odd happened?
We lost him and he's back.
Okay. Oh, we lost him and he's back. Oh, Tom's been gone in the rainstorm and now he's back. Who would like to introduce him back in? George?
Tom Gustafson, former Florida Speaker of the House. He actually appears in the film, the Look Up film. Tom's got a part in there. He was critical in some of the scientific research, and a lot of his papers are published on the scatteralert.com website under science. And his passion is sea level rise, and that's how I actually got connected with Tom, was over the sea level rise, and now the connection to the geoengineering issue.
Nice. Well,
It's, again, not my research. I simply read the stuff that appears in the peer-reviewed journals in terms of trying to decipher what the scientists are saying around the world. That tends to add up to a very bleak picture if we don't come to grips with a changing climate.
Yeah, I agree. And people have been so polarized on that issue, Tom, for a lot of various reasons. But I think right now if people that are realizing the climate's wrong around them, we see climate chaos everywhere, and if people really understood that there's this massive experiment, you know, aside from everything else going on, which I acknowledge as well, but that there's an experiment at a scale that's incomprehensibly huge going on in the skies above us that's altering all the natural patterns. I don't think anybody of any political stripe would really accept that. Do you, Tom?
Well, here's what I know. I know that if there is a large-scale effort to geoengineer already underway, which is a possibility, and I grant that it's a possibility. I haven't seen the cold evidence yet, but I'm willing to
now. Have you seen
believe?
Have you seen the?
I'm willing to believe it's a real possibility. And what I'm saying is, government needs to be honest about what it is or isn't doing, so we can make a decision. And what's great about the app is whether or not you know the chemistry, whether or not it is a traditional contrail or a persistent contrail or a chemtrail or geoengineering, when I see that line in the sky, it shouldn't be there but for that aircraft in front of it. And if I don't want that to occur because I'm concerned it changes my atmosphere, then I have now a tool to tell my congressman to stop it.
Now, I'm curious.
Eventually the government comes clean and tells us what they are or are not doing, I hope.
Now, Tom, I'm curious. I mean, we have actual video footage of KC-10s and KC-135 spraying at altitude, and we have a mountain of the same metals listed in geoengineering patents coming down on us. And, I mean, I'm curious that if you're not convinced yet. I mean, we feel the argument is long since been over. They're doing this, no question about it. And I'm curious what's kept you from that conclusion.
Here's what I want to say. I'm not discounting the hard work. I give you and others who've been doing this for a while in chemtrails with a tremendous amount of very smart work. What I'm saying is I'm looking for the scientific journal to tell me what the chemical is that we're witnessing when we see a contrail.
I haven't
seen that journal article yet.
I don't think you will, ever, because, I've been on the phone with the world's top climate scientist as little as 6 weeks ago that told me, flat out, that unless or until it's listed in one of those journals, it doesn't exist, period. So, I mean, the system is built not to show this. It's built not to show the mountain of metal raining down on us. I know that. I've been in high-level
meetings.
Someone
ultimately has to write it in the journal
first. It's not going
to
happen. It's not going to happen. If this is a chicken or the egg thing, it's not.
And what I want to say is, first, I believe it's happening whether or not they write it in the journal. If it's happening, it doesn't matter whether it's in the journal. I agree with you. But number two, I don't underestimate the scientific community. Somewhere in India, somewhere in Russia, somewhere in Spain, there's a scientist. He's going to tell us the truth. It's going to happen sooner than you think.
How do we know it hasn't already happened and they're not already dead? I mean, you have John Wheeler outside.
Well, I'm not ready to accept there is that much control by any government, which is made up of humans, and humans have made mistakes. And what I'm saying is, generally, in my experience in politics, no matter how hardball you're playing, you eventually get out because people like you do your job. And then eventually the scientist gets the courage up to validate it.
We need the validation
if you want government to change.
But look, Tom, I've met with NOAA scientists who told me face to face, they know these programs are going on, they can't speak out, they're alarmed as hell about it, they have no First Amendment protection. Same thing from USDA scientists, same thing from a U.S. Forest Service. These people are simply scared out of their socks. We know what happens to anybody that blows the whistle, and I would argue
I understand what you're saying, and so therefore I've shifted my focus to all those other countries in the world where there are equally competent scientists who have less of a government involvement in their research.
What country would that be?
And I believe that the time will come in the near future where you'll be validated through a scientific journal article that gets printed, and governments cannot ignore that fact anymore.
All right, boys.
As they have,
I got to call a timeout.
Ignore you.
Ding. Okay, this round has ended. We need to have a short break here. We're going to be back in 2 minutes, or we'll have all of our commercials at the end like we did last hour. You're listening to We the People Radio. Catch us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM. This would be my favorite bumper music, so listen up.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. Twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted. You wonder if you'll see the light of day behind the clouds. The sun is shining. Silver lining, but there's a big blue sky waiting right behind the clouds.
And the chemicals.
We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan and Elizabeth Woodward. Hey, just wanted to say that during the break I went onto my Facebook page and I found Skyder Alert, found their page, liked it, and shared it with everyone I knew. And that is the way you get people involved.
That is how you do it.
And let's chat about this event happening on August 25th.
On my birthday.
Okay, global...
It's for my birthday, actually.
The Global March Against Chemtrails. That is... It's a couple guys that have put this together. They've got a Facebook page. It's Global March Against Chemtrails. That's their site. They've been really, really instrumental in assembling these marches. And it's around the world. And we've got the official event shirts. You know, we're the event shirt guys, so that's on our...
And I like that shirt. It's very, very bright.
Thank you. And it communicates the simple message, ban geoengineering. So what the Global March Against Chemtrail guys have been doing is uniting everybody. There's Chemtrails DC, Chemtrails London, Chemtrails everywhere. And these individual groups really have not had a forum. And that's what the SkyderAlert.com site is, to create that forum. And the Global March Against Chemtrails is also to create that community. To get everybody organized to march. And the idea of the shirt is when the media covers the marches in these different places, they'll see some continuity in message and continuity in brand. I mean, unfortunately, you have to bring a little bit of marketing into this.
Otherwise, into this it mission. Becomes the best part about that is it becomes non. Okay, it's very political, but it's non-partisan.
Mm-hmm. It's non-partisan and it's non-threatening. Just ban geoengineering. Yeah. It's
so it
for
isn't
all
like,
humanity.
Do you agree with this group or do you agree with that group or do you agree with this big whole platform? It's focused on that one thing, which is great because really what has to happen.
And I encourage people to go to that Facebook page and find out where the event is near you. There's one in Reading. Join it.
Yeah.
Be a part of it.
Be a part of it and get the shirt. So when the media does cover it in your area, and actually you can have your friends take pictures of your march, whatever, post it to your page, and then, you know, you'll see the overall awareness rise.
Yeah. And that's
where do the shirts come
that's
from?
That's the point.
But the shirts are on the scatteralert.com/store.
There should be a link up there. I have a question.
Yeah, we are actually doing the shirts.
Are you bringing any with you to the Tea Party meeting tomorrow night? By any chance, did you bring in?
Well, you know, my luggage made it 5 minutes before Dane picked me up today, so I'm hoping that they're in the
suitcase. Oh, so you did bring some.
I did bring some, yeah. I brought those in DVDs. Okay. And, you know, and also, just so everybody does know, that the Scatter Alert is a nonprofit. It's an official 501c4. So
how'd you do that?
Yeah, we couldn't
do
it.
You didn't say the word Patriot. What'd you put? What'd you call it? What was it called? Scatter Alert? It was too confusing for them, and it was science.
It was just a name that I made up. I just came up with a name, left it, you know, my attorneys just left it vague. That's, you know, we're looking at the science of climate change.
Oh, they probably loved that.
Exactly.
It said science and everything.
Science, climate change, and we got the approval.
You didn't tell
them
you were going to be hanging out with us, so you got away.
No, on the science, I'd like to say something.
Dave's over here.
You know, I'm kind of, my veins are popping out maybe, but look, on the science.
Yeah, you're looking pretty pissed
on the science of climate change, okay, and this is in further response to the conversation we had previously, but how alert and aware can the entire scientific community be, and how willing to speak out can they possibly be, when the single greatest climate affecting aspect of all is completely ignored, completely not talked about, and not mentioned in any context at all? I can't imagine, just for the record, that, you know, we can just sit around and wait for an Ed Snowden to pop out on the geoengineering issue. Because, again, if they're not going to tell us they're listening in on their emails, our emails, are they going to tell us that they're spraying us with toxic chemicals like a lab rat?
No.
I mean, I think it's an incredibly naive notion to think that we're going to wait for something like that to happen. It's not going to happen.
No. You're right about that. And you made a very good point about how frightening it is for people that work inside the government to be a whistleblower. Because they're paying dearly for that.
They're scared out of their socks. And again, you have every major industrialized country involved with these programs. The NATO countries under the umbrella of the United States. You have China and Russia and their satellite countries on the other end of the equation, where there's strategic applications for weather modification going on right now. And people can look up weather mod. There's 150 publicized programs in the U.S. every year. The U.S. military has stated on the record, people can look this up. Please don't believe me. Look it up on the record that the U.S. military, their top commanders have said, climate change is the greatest threat facing U.S. national security. Well, climate change has been fueled by the geoengineering programs, which have been used for weapons. So, I mean, they're creating the fire that they're now discussing as the major problem. But the bottom line is, again, Ed Snowden's a great example. If the government's certainly not going to tell us they're looking up our skirt with everything we do, they're sure as hell not going to tell us that they're dumping toxic chemicals from the atmosphere.
So this is the beauty of...
I think that's going to get skipped. The
partnership between you and George, you know, he's the marketing guy and you're the science guy, and you put those two things together, they're both necessary parts of getting this out.
And it has to be a mainstream message. Just have to go. I mean, that's my business, mainstream communications, global brand. That's what I do, and I've done it my whole professional career, and I know if this is going to be effective, that's just the route you
have
to take.
We all know that if people have to be an expert, they don't have time. The more complex it becomes, the more people think, well, yeah, I heard about that, but I don't know. They don't want to look stupid, for starters. You know, they're not like us. They're not willing to come on and,
broadcast their ignorance worldwide.
With their limited information and have people on.
Right.
People don't want to do that.
Right.
So this allows them to take a picture. They can recognize that. They might not know all the facts about it, but they can be part of the solution with a piece of the information.
Look. People aren't that ignorant. You look up in the sky, you see that it's just not normal. They're just not normal clouds. Take a picture and send it in. You know, you don't have to be okay with it.
Well, you look over our area in Northern California, and you'll see a grid pattern, but there are no major airlines flying east to west. There are no
routes. Where would they be going?
Where are they going?
You know, and this notion of these hole punch clouds, here, look at this photo. I took this out of my front yard.
Oh, yeah. The cloud is like a circle, and it has no cloud around the edges. I've seen that.
Well, the funny thing about this particular incident was I happened to watch this take place.
Oh, you watched it separate out?
I watched it separate out.
It looks like an egg with a yolk in the middle.
Yeah, it was really
a
bizarre situation. And this was from the front yard of my house.
I recognize the photo. I would say this. People don't need to have a great deal of knowledge to know that when they walk outside and the sun hits them, it's burning the hell out of them, that their garden's burnt to hell, that they don't see blue sky anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is very self-evident things. And to get to the higher level for one person's neighbor, their friends, their family, to get them to be willing to look at Skyder Alert and Georgia Site, one thing that can be very helpful are flyers, information flyers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Right.
We will hand those out for free. They're very high quality, color, glossy flyers. We'll have as many as people want at the meeting on Monday night. Mm-hmm. They can pick those up there. And the flyers are so helpful, because to try to go into a rant and point at the sky just puts people's defenses up. You give them a flyer with some hard, credible data on it and a source for more data, that can be a great key to the door, so people understand there is something going on. The Alzheimer's, autism, ADD, all these things connected to the heavy metals. Same heavy metals used in geoengineering patents. Same heavy metals showing up in, by the way, 60-70 tests in Shasta-Siskiyou County alone. If you have something to help people connect those dots, it matters. Mm-hmm. And again, when people think agencies would be telling us about this if it would happen, again, back to the question of government will say something at some point, the system's designed not to show these particulates. And I've been in these high-level meetings in Sacramento. I know this to be the case. Aluminum, for example, they stopped testing for aluminum in the state's drinking water in 2002. Why would that be?
Wow.
When they test for everything else.
They don't want it on the record.
Bottom line is there's a lot. If people simply investigate this issue, they'll find a mountain of data, actual film footage of tankers spraying at altitude. And on that note, one of the primary reasons George came here to California was to film interview four pilots, two retired military, two retired commercial. And those interviews will be available soon. But some of those pilots are going to be at the meeting Monday night, too, if people want to talk to them.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, guys, big meeting tomorrow night, 2570 South Bonneview Road, Destiny Fellowship Church. Get there early to get a seat. Be there.
No matter
what party you belong to.
All right, we're going to take a really quick break here and keep ourselves. We're going to self-impose a little keeping ourselves on track. Huh? You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
They say that there's a hole in the atmosphere. The things you think will last just disappear. But you were ready to say, I do. Somebody lowered the boom on you. Now you need a sympathetic ear. So baby, tell me about it. Tell me about teardrops in the dark. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't, but I do.
We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, and our guests Dane Wigginton and George Barnes. And we're going to grab a call from Terry on the line. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Terry.
Uncle Terry, are you in there?
Hey, ladies. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
Hey, Dane. How are you, buddy?
Good, Terry. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I think that Monday night is going to be really, really important, and everything you guys have said today is just so eye-opening. I just want to encourage people really to come Monday night, and our rally is going to be August the 25th. We're going to do it between 11 and 12 o'clock, so it's a little cooler during the day. We haven't picked out the exact location yet. That is a Sunday. and we'll have more information on that. But, you know, Dane, keep up the fight. You guys are amazing. This app is just an amazing thing, and I hope we can get the word out for people to come tomorrow night, as many as possible, because actually seeing this information, getting it firsthand, is really going to be great. And, Elizabeth, thank you for putting that out on your Facebook page.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing the whole time we've been on the radio.
It's great, but everybody should be doing that, and I want to encourage people who listen to this that are far away, whether you be anywhere in the North State, if you can get to 2570 Bonnyview Road tomorrow night, to the tea party at 6 o'clock at Destiny Fellowship Church. You need to be there. This may be one of the most single, if not the most single, important issue that we have.
And
thanks for what you guys are doing.
Terry, on that note, I really want to point out to people, and I have said this 100 times if I've said it once, the tea party is not about a particular party.
Yep.
And as we go deeper and deeper and deeper into the abyss of what is being done to us as citizens of this country and of the world, we are finding more and more and more common ground with everyone, no matter what part of the aisle they're on.
Absolutely. There's more agreement with what's going on, but not to see this as being reality is nonsense. I think Dane hit the nail on the head. It's very naive. I remember one Tuesday, my wife and I counted 39 of those trails. They were all over the sky. The sky got the haze. The sky got that covering. And then on Friday, which you would think people would be flying on Friday, at least when I've flown around the country, that's when I'd leave, usually it would be on a Friday, there's nothing. How does that work?
Well, Terry, you know what? I mean, I'm so grateful for everything that the Tea Party has done for this issue. And as Elizabeth said, it's not a party of any particular persuasion. And I, the amount of concern the Tea Party has shown for the state of the planet to support life has far exceeded the quote unquote environmental groups that I've ever seen.
And thank you for that.
You know, I mean, anybody's welcome there, and you're the exceptional group of people that I'm very honored to be associated with now. But on the note of the naiveness of thinking the government would ever tell us, if we stand back a minute, do we really believe that the government at some point is going to say, by the way, we've been spraying you like lab rats for the last 60 years. It's not going to happen. Is what you said, Terry, it's up to us. It is absolutely positively up to us,
mm-hmm.
because the government will never admit the damage they've already done could never be quantified. They have altered the planet's life support systems, and whatever the Earth could have done to respond to human activity, now we will never know. And it's getting worse by the day. They're doubling down as the climate continues to unravel. Being fueled by geoengineering, what they seem to know how to do is to do more. So it's up to all of us to bring this to light.
Well, and we all know, you know, for the folks that are hanging on the scientific community, we all know because, you know, step away from this issue. Step away from this and look at other things. Look at the coho salmon up north of us by the Klamath Dams. We all know that you can buy coho salmon at Costco. Well, you can't buy any other endangered species at Costco, so what science are we using?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got so many just, you know, stupid, you know, to say it's stupid science actually
is a
indicates
really kind,
it might actually be science.
Is a kind statement.
It's an agenda. There is an agenda involved. And so when you have an agenda, you can't have an agenda and science. Those are mutually exclusive.
They are. And if you call, I had a conversation with a biologist from the Forest Service recently who was, pressured or paid to say what was said, because when I asked if they had any comment on the radically increasing mortality in the forest of trees, plants, bushes, she said, oh, the forest is fine. There's nothing wrong with the forest. Well, I don't know what forest she's talking about. It's not this one. The manzanita looks like it's been hit with a flamethrower. We have full-size manzanita flashing out dead everywhere. We're losing fir trees. 90% of the fir trees in the forest, at least around Lake Shasta, have gone to cone this year. That's a stress response. It means the tree thinks it's going to die. We're losing fir trees all over the place.
And there's no reason for it. There's no reason for those trees to be dying.
No. And again, the UV is an absolute cut and dried fact. It's burning the hell out of us. It's burning the hell out of the trees. We have hard data to back it up. We'll release a article today or tomorrow on Geoengineering Watch that'll have our spreadsheet of all our readings on it. I mean, this is cut and dried stuff. This is not speculation.
And until Dane gets his Facebook page up and running, you can go to
we're browbeating him during the breaks.
You can go to Geoengineering Watch. They have a Facebook page that you can like. You can go to Sky Alert. They've got a Facebook page you can like, and you can
Skyder Alert.
I'm sorry, Skyder Alert.
That was a little, huh?
I know.
What's Sky Alert? We have that too?
Skyder Alert. And you can do that, you know, in a matter of about 2 seconds.
You know, and the UV on the SkyderAlert.com site, if you look under the science link, it's, you know, the documents are there showing that the geoengineering is shredding the ozone. That's just a byproduct of the particulates.
And tell us about the graph that you just showed me on the rise of autism.
Oh, yeah. The rise of autism, the rate of autism is a 400% increase, and that's in the film. And if you look at the timeline...
Is that in 10 years?
400% in what time frame? Because autism has increased 10,000% statistically since 1975. It's been... That is the actual figure. I'm not rounding numbers. Since it's gone from 1 in 5,000 in 1975 to 1 in 50 as of April of this year. It's a 10,000% increase. And so bottom line is people better wake up and realize we are not being told the gravity of our situation. It is becoming more dire by the day. And
putting pressure on your legislators is the very best thing that you can do. And that is why this mobile app is a godsend. It's a brilliant move.
It is. George has really changed the flavor of the equation and what he's brought to this. But it still takes everybody's individual action to get people to SkyderAlert to get them to be motivated enough to do that. Sometimes a flyer, things like very simple tools can help so that they realize, yeah, there's something to this. I better investigate.
You know? Well, something to remember, a piece that we're missing here is, you know, it's really great to put a ton of pressure on our legislators, but you have to remember that they don't control the agencies.
Yeah, that's
they really
true.
Don't. They don't decide who is the head of the USDA. That's not what they do.
Because those are unelected bureaucrats.
That whole system is, you can't reach through that and force them to do things. And many of our legislators are experiencing, they request things from different federal agencies, and they don't get fact. They have to count on whistleblowers inside those agencies to give them the truth.
We were just told
they need
by
the pressure.
So encourage people who work for these different agencies. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, we're counting on everybody to do the right thing. There is no silver bullet. And if there was, we'd have 535 people. Mm-hmm. We could just corral them, put them in a room, noogie them all, make them do it.
Right.
But it isn't that easy.
Yeah,
it just isn't set up that easy.
This is not just another issue. And again, that's I focused everything on this issue because I felt it was the greatest priority of all, and the science backs that up. If you can't walk out your door and breathe without sucking in a lung full of heavy metal, if you can't walk out your door and not be burnt to a crisp from a shredded ozone layer, if you can't grow anything in your soils, if the oceans are being literally systematically snuffed out, I mean, we have a problem of the first order. So this is why my focus is on this issue. If this issue doesn't stop, nothing else will matter. And Aaron's right that they do pass the buck off, that this is a federal issue, not a state issue. That's why speaking in front of CARB, who's punishing the farmers for their emissions of their vehicles for particulate matter, when CARB is overlooking a source of particulate matter that's mathematically maybe 100,000 times greater because it's not a state issue. That is absolute hypocrisy
and
garbage.
A lot of what's being sprayed is aluminum. There are other things, but aluminum is a big component. And yet, you've told me, and I absolutely immediately forgot who you said it was, but they don't test for it. It's not something they test for.
Nobody does.
Quantity.
State of California stopped testing for aluminum drinking water in 2002. I was told by a fish and game biologist 2 months ago that all the runoff for the drainage water, which everybody has to test for in Reading, anything that runs off or contributes to runoff, they test for 130 elements. But guess what they don't test for? Aluminum. I mean,
since when?
She didn't know when that regulation kicked in. It was news to her that they weren't testing for aluminum anymore. But the water happened in 2002, because there were spikes showing up in the state water with aluminum and barium. So how do you eliminate the spikes?
Then you should test more instead. They test less.
They stop testing, period. You know, it's just like the nuclear situation with Fukushima, and they stopped testing for fallout on the West Coast. I mean, if you don't want the problem to exist, you just ignore it. And just like the UV, I mean, there's no separation of UVA and UVB, even though UVB is much more lethal. We know we're being exposed to at least 1,500% more than we're being told. Nobody tests for it. Nobody asks questions. So we all walk outside and roast. So this problem is here. It's now. It's affecting all of us. I hope everybody can understand the gravity. Come to the meeting tomorrow night. And we will stay and talk, answer questions as long as anybody wants. Free flyers. And we'll.
And I want to encourage people to go to 24hourpatriots.com because every Monday night our meetings are videotaped. And if you can't make that meeting or you live out of the area and you still want the hard facts.
Or you're listening to this on an archive after the 28th.
And that's a way to get the, I mean, we use our social media, so there really isn't any reason why anyone anywhere can't get this information.
Exactly.
It is. In fact, the last presentation for the Tea Party there. If people Google the most important topic of our time, they can see that presentation, which has had 75 or 80,000 views.
Yeah, that's just gone nuts. Now, real quickly on that note, I want to talk about, you know, we met you.
You can't because it's break time.
Oh, shoot. Okay, when we get back, we met you. We met you about 5 years ago, and you were fighting an uphill battle, and you've almost become mainstream. I want to chat about that a little bit when we come back.
He's been on Coast to Coast. Now everything on Coast to Coast used to be weirdos, and now you listen, and it's like, hey, I know that guy. But I'm not sure what's scarier, actually. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with you here for the last 10 minutes on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM.
See the clouds adrift so far below. Ever changing as they come and go. Makes me wonder why I'm up so high. When really I am down so low.
But now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done. But clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now. From up and down. And still somehow it's clouds. I really don't know clouds at all.
And we're back, wrapping up the second hour of We the People Radio. You know, there's nothing like looking through a cheesecloth when you look up at the sky. Hey, before we run into the second hour at the end of it, I want to thank both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
We've got Dane Wigington, Geo Watch, and give us your contact information.
Geoengineeringwatch.org is our site. There's no politics, no advertising. We just simply are trying to get the word out on this most dire issue.
Okay, and George?
Yeah, skyteralert.com. It's a social networking site. It's more than just an informational site. So you know, I encourage everybody to go in. You can log in with your Facebook, but sign up because we've got a lot of notifications that will come directly to you. And again, it's not political. It's not partisan. It's not environmental. It's just, you know, it's just a human health concern for everyone.
So for all those people that are like, what do we do? What do we do? This is what do you do?
That is what you can do.
And how'd you come up with the name? Why is it Skyder, SKYDERALERT, for those folks that are going, what did he say?
Well, I was thinking about a unique type name. I didn't want something that would get confused with other names.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I was thinking about Google and Yahoo and how abstract those names are. And I just came up with Skyder. That's it.
Okay.
It's just an abstract.
So we've got a great partnership with Dane, who is 100% scientist and fact-based. And you, George, who
understands. He's frustrated. He's a frustrated scientist,
who understands
too.
How important marketing is
to get the word out. You've got to have the unified message of band geoengineering.
And all of this can be found at wetheopleradio.us as well.
Because we really don't know where this is coming from. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't reach out and grab a hold of whoever is doing it.
We don't, and we do. Because, look, we know the same people printing the money are certainly the same people behind these programs, ultimately. But that being said, we have documents. I found a document on the NASA archives, 80 pages long, posted on our site, that lists all the other agencies involved with these programs. DOE, Department of Energy, Department of Defense, Department of Interior, about a dozen universities. I mean, there's no secret with many of the people that are involved. But what I want to stress again, and people should know this by now, seeing the news we've seen in recent months of what happens to anybody who blows a whistle on a government, anything, that we have organizations like NASA, and we're posting a site to try to address the people that are putting out this disinformation. It's called Disinformation Directory. But NASA just put out a big piece showing a chemical plastered sky with grid patterns, and it's a program to teach kids that's all fine and dandy and not harmful to them. Well, you know, that's like having a program to teach kids that chewing glass is good for you. You know, and this should absolutely shock people that the very programs that appear to be the single greatest cause of Alzheimer's, autism in our kids, ADD, and NASA is teaching them that this is fine. I mean, you know, people should be put on trial for this. I mean,
there's a lot of people that should be put on trial for a whole lot of things. And so let's talk about the movie and what we're going to be doing tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party.
Yes, the film Look Up is going to show at that at the church there, and everyone's welcome to come out and check it out.
And how long is the film?
26 minutes is the version that'll run.
Okay, and what are we going to focus on?
Well, you're going to focus on awareness, the way to identify this the geoengineering when you look up in the sky, and what to do about it. Specifically, it gives it's kind of interesting the way it integrates the app with the social network and the film. It's a unique way to have an activist like full 360 degree approach to educate people about something. And then tell them what to do and give them a tool to do it.
And you will have those DVDs available for sale?
Yes, we'll have DVDs there. We'll have a couple shirts for the Global March Against Chemtrails there. Okay. I'm not sure how many are left.
Okay.
But and the app, of course, you know, you can just go on to the App Store or Google Play if you're an Android user and download the app for free.
Okay. And so pretty user-friendly. You're also going to be now some of the pilots that you've interviewed.
Oh, I haven't interviewed him yet.
Oh, you that's haven't, but that's
tomorrow?
Your plan.
So
today?
You guys are doing that tomorrow,
shortly,
right?
Yes.
Two commercial and two, what, U.S. Air Force?
Two retired commercial, two retired U.S. Air Force.
Oh, that ought to be good.
So you guys, will you be able to talk about that tomorrow?
Yes. And in fact, I think two or three of them will be at the meeting to answer questions. And again, another primary aspect we'll address besides the film is to make clear to people why this issue is so important, why this issue should be paramount to all others. I don't care what we have going on. If we're not firing on all neurons, if we're breathing this stuff in and our mental clarity goes, our ozone layer's shot, we've destroyed the Earth's ability to produce oxygen. I mean, we've turned the Earth into a giant chemistry
lab.
And
we've got honestly, a problem. It's time to stop blaming us. It's time to stop taking the responsibility for destroying the Earth when, in fact, it is not our fault.
And, you know, there's some film festivals that are focusing on that, like the Awareness Festival that I was at on Friday, which is fantastic in Santa Monica. Now there's another one, Action on Film, with Del Weston that's coming up also in Southern California. These festivals, there are festivals that are popping up that are focusing on these types of issues. So, my hat's off.
In regard to geoengineering, if we could stop it, then we could look at what's really going on with the planet. Because right now, we don't even know.
Right.
I mean, geoengineering is such a big wrench in the works that we don't know what the planet might have done to compensate for human activity. And we don't know. We just know geoengineering is thwarting the entire system, poisoning everything from the clouds to the ground, ripping the atmosphere apart. There's nothing bad it doesn't do. So bottom line is that should be a priority.
And for the people who can't wrap their mind around that or won't wrap their mind around that, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know anybody who isn't frustrated with the amount of money that we're all being extorted. Yeah. We have so much money going out, and it's going to pay for
these
solar companies that go broke and all this different stuff. There was just
which is completely pointless.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there was just an amendment put into the Department of Defense bill because military bases in California, if their generators kick on, they have a series of things that would happen that they wouldn't have notification for. Do you realize that they have to pay huge fines to CARB? In one case, one of the bases had to pay $917,000 because they had they were using equipment or something like that. They didn't notify CARB in time. I forgot the detailed thing. I didn't bring it with me. However,
and the fine they pay, of course, is our tax dollars.
Right. But huge money, right? And they're funneling that all to the California Air Resources Board. So they wrote that in there, that in their appropriation, they're not allowed to pay CARB, you know? But it's just this massive, massive extortion.
Well,
so if you can't get behind the science, the money.
There's a lot of Ponzi schemes going on. They're taking our tax dollars.
Sure.
And they're laundering them.
And this is one of those. So, you know, hate it for whatever reason you like.
Pick
the money, pick the science, pick them both.
Take that NSA and DHS and CIA and FBI and IRS.
They're printing whatever money they want. I mean, for anything they want to do, like geoengineering, they print whatever they need. Mm-hmm. But then they extort from us. But bottom line is semantics also. I want to stress with the people, semantics are important. If you're introducing the subject to somebody, use the term geoengineering. If they Google that term, they'll find hard science.
Mm-hmm.
If they Google chemtrails, they'll find not by accident a big conspiracy theory hoax thing. Geoengineering is the scientific term. That's what you'd be using.
And they are not contrails. Contrails are normal, and we used to see them when we're kids.
These are particulate trails, and there's a vast difference.
And don't forget to go to Facebook. Find this information on Facebook because you'll get regular updates, and you can share it.
Yeah, so WeThePeopleRadio.us has all this stuff. So we've rattled off a whole bunch of stuff to you, but you can find it all in one place. And I would encourage you, when the archive comes up, send the show to your friends. It'll be awesome.
We'll see you next week.
We're talking about mining. Moving to mining next. Thanks, boys. Thanks, girls. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. See you next week.
There's a job to be done. Let's roll, America. There's a battle to be won. Wake up, America. You're too young to die. Let's roll, America. The good Lord's on our side.
All right, the Don Shulman Show is next here at KCNR Shasta, Redding.